This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Give Jesus a big hand. If you're clapping for Him, you can do better. Praise the Lord. Were you blessed? The two sections were loaded. God bless you, Kuride and Bishop. One more time, put your hands together for them. Very loaded. Kuride dissected the scriptures, and then Bishop Dan came and added spices. God bless you. That was wonderful. Don't follow for what you get. Follow the tap of the grace. He came to me and I said, if you won't follow Edepo, don't come to me. And I said, if you know that you will not follow Edepo, don't come. He was holding offering. I said, I don't need the offering. I said, I won't take it from you if you won't follow Edepo. I said, I'm not interested. If you follow the camp of those who are against Edepo, you fail. I just told him, I said, if you join that camp, you will fail. I said, you're coming from there, but never join that camp of those who follow. You will just fail. His offering was in his hand, was shaking. I said, hold your offering. Until your heart is set with him, don't follow me. Otherwise, you fail. And you can see the results. Out of them who left, with all humility, he has the highest result. It is not because of where he is, it's because of his heart. Mind the state of your heart. It won't make a mark on the earth. You know, it's a heart issue. You can't, even in secret, don't think this will make me get offended with anybody. But nothing, it's not a thing. I won't be offended. Because in the natural, a son cannot say, this is not my father. So not, it's not a thing I should, I won't be offended with him. I don't talk, nothing. It's not, not that to be offended, I cannot be offended. Every human being is a man of God. So if I want to find fault, I can say, why is Baba doing me like this? I won't see it. You can't talk about him where I am. Forget it. You won't do it. If you try it, that's the day me and your relationship end. Can't you see it working? So you see that song where they talk about somebody. Say, yes, yes, yes. I just want to hear. What do you want to hear? You don't you have fault. Well, that's not my own preaching. Let me preach my own. They are preach their own. Give us a big head, amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the first two sections. We ask that you speak your word to your people through me. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Give me a big hand. Praise the Lord. In this first session, I'll be looking at commanding exploits in life and ministry. Commanding exploits in life and ministry. I will take in the whole teaching from three verses of scriptures today and tomorrow. Tomorrow, Femi Emmanuel will be speaking in the morning. Praise the Lord. Commanding exploits in life and ministry. Now, I'll be taking my text from Jeremiah chapter 1, 10 to 12. The whole preaching will come from those three verses. Everything I will speak. See, there's a command there. See. Why did God put command? I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Let's read verse 11 responsibly together. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to what? Perform it. The scripture just read unveiled some striking truths that will enhance exploits. I'll be dissecting to us important steps needed if you must make a mark in life and ministry. Every growing and mega church that must stand the test of time must be willing to operate these steps, including businesses. So I'm looking at some important steps on how to command exploits in life and ministry based on those three verses we have read. Step one. See. Simple means understand. So the first step before you can do anything is to have understanding. And if somebody is talking to you and they get to a point of understanding, they say, oh, I see. That was you mean that you didn't hear before? You say, okay, now I understand. So the first thing anybody can do is to have understanding. So have what? To see here means to understand. Exploits in life and ministry starts with understanding. Proverbs 4, 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom with all that getting. Get what? Understanding. Verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Understanding unlocks the doors to every aspect of your life, including church growth. What is understanding? Understanding is the ability to interpret life as God sees it. It's the ability to see the total picture that God sees of a person or a situation. Simply, understanding is seeing as God sees it. To hear through his ears. To think in line with God's word. To walk in God's steps. To feel with his heart. That's understanding. You understand? Hear me very well. Without understanding, when challenges come, you cave in. Because challenges will definitely come, whether in business or in ministry. In Exodus chapter 7 verse 1, the Lord said unto Moses, say, see. He said, Moses, understand. It was there Moses' life turned. Somebody's story will change right now. He said, see. Understand, I've made you a God unto Pharaoh. You are not going to Pharaoh like a small boy. Understand that you are not going to Pharaoh like another person. I changed your status. Moses, when he saw that, he said, wow, I'm going to face this man. Understand that God wants to build a church that will last forever. Not just with your generation. If you read Proverbs 2, 1 to 6, for time's sake, verse 6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and what? Understanding. Psalm 119, verse 104, 8. Through thy precepts, I get what? Understanding. It is God's word that opens us up to understand. The entire Bible was written that you and I would be able to interpret life as God does. 2 Timothy 2, 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee what? Understanding in all things. How many things? Not some things. Some people have understanding of this. He said, the entrance of his word giveth light and giveth understanding. It is simple. What you pursue, you possess. Until you pursue understanding, you'll just be doing ministry like stuff ahead. Pursue understanding first of who you are in Christ. Why God does want his church to last forever, and why must I not give up because of challenges? Because you're stronger in Christ than any devil. Is that true? So understanding must be the foundation before taking other steps. Before you take any other step in business, in career, in life, the foundation must be what? Why am I in ministry? What does God have me to do? Will this challenge make me to give up? If you don't have understanding, did God call me to look like a man under course? You have understanding. Why did God keep me here to be a sufferhead? How can you work for your company to pay you? Then you now work for God. You are not saying you are looking for money. You lack understanding. Lack what? Okay, somebody is working in an oil company. And he's sure that he will pay him better. And you're working for the most high God. You are not looking for payment. You lack understanding. Somebody is working for a mortal man. And that person will be paid at the end of the month. Then you are working for the most high God. You are not looking for money. Something is wrong. You lack what? You say, no, because I'm in ministry. is a lie because you don't know. Because you don't know. Step two. In Jeremiah chapter 1, I said every time it does it from there. I hope I told you. Look at verse 10. It says, see, I have this day set you over the nations. I have set you over what? Over nations, not over one small place. I've set you over nations. It means I've set you over your community. You're not a communal leader, community leader. I've set you over nations and over kingdoms. So step two, possess a superiority mentality. You must possess a superiority mentality over the devil. Over who? For a man taken his heart. So is he. Proverbs 23 verse 7. He said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Philippians 4 verse 13. Your mentality is your mental power, endowment, or capacity. How you see it will determine how far you go. Superiority mentality makes you possess and exhibit God's thought pattern. Nothing defines destiny like mentality. Your mind is the greatest asset in the realization of your destiny. You understand, you hear me well? Ministry is not meant for struggles. God is the builder, and he does not struggle to build his church. I got a deep revelation from my mentor long ago, so I'll build my church. You will never hear from my mind, my church. Because the owner is God. And if he's the owner, then he will build it. Never in my life have I said my church. I learned that from him. And I got a deep, you know, hearing somebody's different, you get a revelation is under 10. He said, I will build my church. So the church is built by him, not by you. If it's by you, you will suffer. Matthew 16 verse 18. However, it is your mentality that will provoke him to act in your favor. If you want to command lasting exploits, then you must possess the superiority of the devil is not your problem, it is your mentality that is your problem. Satan could not stop Jesus during the earthly ministry because Jesus possessed the superiority mentality over Satan. From this day, we'll bow to you. Shout a better amen. Now, when it comes to mentality, there are four pictures that will affect your mentality, positively or negatively. Everybody, there are four pictures when it comes to mentality that will affect you. Everybody goes through these four things. These are four mentality. One, the picture of God and his word. God is a good God. It's every good and perfect gift. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. And coming down from the Father of lights and the womb that has no variableness and shadow of turning. He means what he says and he says what he means. He is not a man that he what? He should lie. Numbers 23 verse 19. You should know that that's my best scripture. When you know that God is backing you, your mentality will change. Who is God to you? How do you see God? Two. Your picture of the devil. Your picture of what? Stop magnifying the devil. Satan is under your feet. Ephesians 1:22. He had put all things under his feet and gave him to the head, to be head over all things to the church. Stop looking at the devil's picture and concentrate on God's portrait of victory. Many people talk about the devil. They magnify the devil. You know, all the, you know, the devils are the things. Satan is too small. Don't talk about him. He's irrelevant, not important. Don't make him look too special. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Commonize him. It's not your problem. What you magnify, you dignify. Why will you talk about the devil of all creatures? Three, picture of others about you. Picture of others what? Stop talking with people's opinion. Stop working with people's opinion about you. David, his brothers had a different opinion about him. His own opinion about God was more important to him. When he came to Goliath, they said, you this small boy, you have come again. You have come. Their opinion about David to Goliath was different. He said, forget it. Let me say this to you. Don't walk with people's opinion. Jesus never wasted his time with critics. He kept his attention on his goal. If your goal is church growth, then you must ignore what people are saying. Do you know, even before the program, people are talking about me on the internet. I'm not interested. If you're not important, nobody will talk about you. Have you seen them talk about somebody who's begging on the street? If I cough now in Nigeria, they talk. They say, he cough. You will mind, why did he cough on the altar? Because they don't want to make news. I told them one day humorously, I said, you should pay me because I'm making them to sell their. So without me, no news. I won't waste my time over them. They don't have job. Me, I have job. Stay focused. Stay what? If your mind is not renewed, you will accept whatever people say. Don't run that ministry by people's opinion, but by God's opinion. By God's what? People, now listen, when I came to Port Harcourt, people said, people don't go to church in Port Harcourt. That was the opinion of people. When I came to this town, where we're transmitting from, they called me and said, come, this town, people don't go to church. And I was coming from Lagos, where we go to church early in the morning. Cloud! And they said, Port Harcourt, no, they don't go to church. That was people's what? Opinion. It's not, I said, any city people gather. Our first service here is 6 a.m. When we're here, 6 a.m., if you come 6:30, you won't get a seat in the hall. You won't get a seat here. Inside this hall. 6:30. It will be in the overflow. By 7 o'clock, you sit on the main road. I didn't walk by people's what? Opinion. Non-tongue speaking people have 6 o'clock services. They call their own name. I don't want to talk about it. And people go there. They are tongue speaking. He said, this city, no, they don't like church. You're walking by people's what? Wherever Jesus is, people go there. Yes, he was in the wilderness, didn't they go there? Even your native doctor who is in the bush, they go to see him. Then you that is a man of God. And I said, no, which doctors stay inside forest, they go to see them for evil. Then you a child of God, they will not come. Thank you. The head of the church, Jesus, the head of principalities and powers. The fourth one is picture of yourself. Picture of what? Refuse to have inferiority complex. Refuse to have what? Two scriptures changed me. Two scriptures changed my life. In Acts 10:34-35, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of what? Persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteously is accepted with him. Romans 10:12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. The American, the Nigerian, the Mexican, the Ghanaian, we are all the same. There is no disadvantaged nation. They are only people with dull minds. There is no nation on the earth that is disadvantaged. The biggest churches and the wealthiest churches in the world today are in Nigeria. Supposedly to be a third world country. That's their own, not our own. The richest churches today on earth are Nigerian churches. So it is not the location, it is your perspective. People have defined you based on how you see yourself. You see, no business is not working in this country. Who told you? Who told you? Is my business not working here? I'm not in business here. Is that my father? Am I bad? My father's what? Ministry is business. People say these people are in business. They are true. We're in business. Before, what are we doing? Business is simply anything that brings profit. Our profit is so winning. They are not wrong when they say you people are businessmen now. They are correct. Until you give the business approach, you won't get any results. Wake up in the morning, dress well, go to office. So scum. Jesus is Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Have that mentality. You are not in a disadvantaged environment. You know, Ghana, the economy is not as bad. Who told you? If I'm in Ghana today, I'll be richest preacher. Put Ghana economy is down. Very down. Hope you are aware. Ghana is going through the highest economic crisis in their life. Put me in Ghana today, I'll be one of the wealthiest preachers in Ghana. By my perspective. But I could used to be a place they say no money before. Now they look at me and say, oh boy, it's all your money. It's my mindset. There are people who are in Padakwa, they are suffering, you know. Abuja, there are businesses who cannot pay rent in Abuja. So it's not the environment, it's your mind. So here. Carry me to a village, I'll produce billions. Based on what I know. If you read Numbers 13 for time's sake, you're all Bible students, so I don't have to read all those scriptures. 27, 28, 31 to 33. He said, we be not able. They look at it and we are like grasshoppers in our own sight. They say we are grasshoppers. What? In our sight. It is what you call yourself, people call you. You have looked at yourself and say, poor preacher like me. What can I go do now? What can a man do? All those kind of English. What can a man do? What a man does? My friend, don't have that perspective. Don't have that what? Don't have that perspective. You look at yourself and say, nah, listen. That's what you must listen to. You must be careful who you listen to. I had my mentor talking. He said, an American, I asked him, he said, what can we do for you? He said, no, our ministry have no need. We don't need, we meet needs. I met an American. I saw the pride in him. Very arrogant. He said, no, our church, we have brought 200. I said, that is a home sale in our church. That's a home sale. He looked at me again. I said, well, that is a home sale. I said, we run 5 services. We are running 7, but now we run 5. And every service is jammed. He said, what? You have 200 people, you're making noise. 200. 200 is home sale here now. By the time we are tall, we are free, we are done. Language change. But if you're in fear, you say, well, he's an American, so he has to help you. Who told you? The same God of the American, same God of the Nigerian. The same God of the Nigerian, same God of the American. Please don't have any complex problem. We are men of equal destiny. So I hear. But if you don't have that mindset, it will affect you. He says, see, I have set you over what? Nations. Not over where you are, over nations. Walk on this place. The mind is the battleground. Where's the battleground? The mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Renew your mind. Romans 12 verse 2. God's word is your only guarantee for freedom from every form of mental slavery and imprisonment. Make Philippians 4:8 your thinking syllabus. You can't think small and expect to pass to a mega church. If you're thinking, it is your thinking that will determine the church growth experience. So tailor your mentality in line with scriptures. Look at every situation from the viewpoint of the word of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Every situation, look at from what? Viewpoint from the word of God. Look at God's word and say, this thing, if God says so, then forget it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They said they don't come to church in the morning. I laughed. But I saw that they were going to the wilderness to meet with Jesus. So I said, okay, first service 6 a.m. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. So wherever he is, the crowd will come. So my mind was like that. I'm not the head of the church. He's the head. If I be lifted up, so if I lift him up, men shall draw to me. So I just lift him up and say, come, Jesus will touch you. Crowd. This church has never left seeing crowd. Glory to God, can you see crowd? You saw crowd yesterday? Why? If he be lifted up, he will draw men to himself. True? No, they won't come. This is Port Harcourt. No, it's Port Harcourt. I told myself one day, I said, my father is shaking Lagos. Me here, I will shake it. But elephant don't give birth to cow. I said, that's my father's territory. But here, this place. Mentality. I'll tell you something. It may sound one kind, but very funny. When we came newly, they used to, you know, when you have not have a result, everybody can insult you. When we came newly, they said, this church is here. This church is here big. I followed my hand. I say, all of them are branches. I'm a visioner. So it would be an insult for me to compare myself with a branch of a church. As I don't care who is there, I'm a visionary. As in this town, I'll dominate. As in my father is dominating. in Lagos, Onota. This place, no branch of any church will be bigger than this church. They say, hey. I said, well, just watch me. I'm a vision. I'm not under anybody. It didn't take 5 years. I just swept everybody under. From here. From where? How can I compare myself with a church branch? That is a branch of the headquarters. My fathers, our fathers and grandfathers are in Lagos, and grandfather Adeboye, for my father Oyedepo, they are there. Here, me, I'm here. Whatever they kept here is a branch. Me, I'm a visionary. From where? From my mind. I said, my father is shaking there. Me, I'm going to shake here. And I said, see, they try. We go try where? They don't use try to pass exam. You can't grow any mega church if your mind is small. If your mind is what? Now, life story. You be careful, this is your mind. Life story. A man from the Orient, I've shared it before, was fishing. And every big fish he caught, he would throw back to the water. And every small fish he caught, he would put in the boat. So somebody was watching him. This might be 20 big fishes back and put in small ones. So the man went to him and said, sir, I've been watching you. Then you threw the big fishes back to the water and put the small ones. He said, the problem I have is that I have a small frying pan. So the man looked at him and said, excuse me, can't you call the fishes and put them? Most ministers' problem is their mindset. God gives them big fishes, but their mind is with small frying pan. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They have what? Anyhow, God do, we go manage them. So God bring you big fishes, you throw them back. When I was in Lagos, I loved the way they come to church. In Yanakpaja, we used to be in Yanakpaja. There's a place called Ajoba, Yanakpaja. A lot of people are not used to Lagos. God will come like this cloud for breakthrough seminar. I said, wow! So when I came to Badakon, that picture was in me. That cloud must come here. This place is already choking. You know that. And I sat down. The cathedral God is building is too small. I looked at it, it's small. If we go there today, now we'll run multiple services. If we go there now, we'll run multiple services. I saw it from my father. I just watch him. And I replicated it in. Don't kill yourself. They've taught you that one. I'm not taught you that one. You're killing yourself too much. Time to do it on your own. Just watch the man who is doing it. Follow the steps. I come to Bishop Tofan. just to him. Just, in the train, the coaches don't do work. Do they do work? They just hook up to the head of the train. And if you look at it, the scriptural, in Ephesians 2, if you look at it, 4 to 6, just hook up. Just what? He said, God is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we are dead in sins, has quickened us, quickened, connect, together with Christ. Just follow him. So, there are people who have been quickened in Christ. Just follow them, hook up. And then you follow them as train. As they are going, you are. Don't you see the way your neighbor is going? Okay, just imagine me to go to mountain now for 3 days. This time. He went to the mountain for how many days? Where will I see that mountain for 3 days? I said, oh God, touch my tongue like a coal of fire. All I need to do is to know and say, tap into him with love. And me to my tongue will be fired. He said, no, I don't believe in that kind of thing. You will just die quick. You won't die in Jesus' name. Step number 3. Are you blessed? Same scripture. Same what? Verse 10, the B part. It says, see, understanding. Is that true? I have said to you above all what? That is mentality. To root out. This is the only place people know. Prayer. So they start with prayer, which is wrong. The first thing is understanding. They just jump to the third step. They say, we are going to pray now. Olua, 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 Olua. God said, I'm not deaf. Though before you have a headache, calm down. They start with prayer. Chineke, Chineke, Tamno, 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 Ajibab, 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 Ajibab. They shake their head, shake their head. God say, calm down. You lack understanding. Step 3, fervent prayers. Fervent what? Prayers. Prayer is a spoken conversation with God based on His word. Prayer is getting God involved. It is a terrestrial license for celestial interference. Not celestial church. Prayer is what? Terrestrial in license for celestial what? Interference. It is a spiritual exercise that enhances our relationship with God. Prayer is the seed for change. Any minister who does not pray is not ready for church growth. A prayerless minister is heading for extinction in ministry. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, never played down on prayer. He's the head and builder of the church, yet he was very prayerful. So no excuse. Tell anybody no excuse. In James 5:16, the people said, the earnest, heartfelt, continuous prayer, Amplified Classic, of a righteous man maketh tremendous power available with dynamic in his work. Walking. No church or individual can grow without prayers. Jesus' earthly ministry strived on the platform of prayer. He often separated himself for the purpose of prayer. And whenever he prayed, the Holy Spirit empowered him to do exploits. Mark 1:35-37. And in the morning, rising up a great while before dawn, he went out and departed to a solitary place and there what? Prayed. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. The world will not look for you if you are not prayerful. I heard my mentor said, they prayed in powerhouse for 2 years. For what? 2 years. When this ministry started, I did all night non-stop. My wife is a witness. For 2 years non-stop. Every midnight, Monday to Sunday, I wake up by 12. If you see a church growing, don't just get excited. Find out the stories. There was no, you know what? Listen, let me say this to ministers of the gospel, especially those of you who were in ministries before you left your ministry. They don't transfer foundation. That's where you see a man will pass to a big church and redeem, and when he starts his own, he's not passing 50 people. You know the reason? Do I tell the reason? This reason. He said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Living faith prayed for 2 years, that's been established, and established their dominion in the supernatural. Redeemed, fasted for 100 years, 400 days, prayed, and started their dominion. You are starting a new name. Nobody knows. Satan does not know you. He has no redeemed. He has no living faith. He has no salvation. You, your own name, he has not known. You have not broken it. You are speaking the same English you are speaking, not just walking. Why? You have not prayed to establish your dominion because you are coming with a new name. So you cannot use that identity of living faith to now pastor this. It won't work. You will preach the same message, nobody will come. Because Satan will say, I don't know this name more. And it's with prayers that will be done. There's no other substitute for prayers. Even your laptop is not a substitute. Have you seen internet prayer before? A prayerful minister will always command attention. Prayer is our strong spiritual force that prepares all men to where we are. Prayer stirs up revival in your life and the church, your person. It is prayer that makes you a flame of fire for the devil to stay clear. Psalm 104:4. A prayerless pastor or church will be a powerless pastor church. And a prayerful pastor church will be a powerful pastor and church. Prayer is one weapon for church growth. Satan will always want to stand against the church. I hope you know that. It's another give place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. Matthew 16, verse 8. Satan will want to resist. Let me say this to you. I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not what? That means the gates of hell will be interested in the church. And Satan has no respect except for prayers. It's only the prayers you use to ward him off. You don't use English. You don't use what? Now, one day, you know, I think to the Lord, one day I was meditating, I said, Lord, why are come motivational speakers will speak? And then crowd will gather. And then church will speak those things I cannot hear. They say, because the motivational speakers don't bring anybody to my kingdom. So Satan can't resist them. But you are bringing people to my kingdom, so you want to resist. So claim. That you see, a pastor will want to preach motivational preaching, nobody in the church. Because the other man preaching is already in the kingdom of darkness. So there's nothing preaching that Satan is in for brother. You are preaching for them to be born again. So why do you think that Satan will not resist you? So he carried the book. He said, I'm going to tell you something right now with 200 people. I'm going to tell you something. 50 people. No prayer. Thank you. You're speaking good English. In fact, your English is getting Satan angry. It's getting what? So you clear him with prayers. Clear him with what? Prayers. Mark 3:27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and he will then spoil his house. You can't take over any territory without clearing the strong man. Satan. You must clear every resistance to growth. Even your shop. As a believer, if you don't pray, Satan will just close the shop. God forbid. A prayerful church will be a growing church. Where prayer stops, that's where growth will stop. The only thing Satan fears is the word-based prayer. It is your level of prayer that will determine your level of growth. Prayer is the life wire of every growing church. A prayerless minister will produce a prayerless congregation. And a prayerless congregation will soon go into oblivion. God forbid. Now hear this. Even Jesus referred to the church as the house of prayer. As house of what? Mark 11:17. It is only the violent in prayer that can experience unhindered and lasting church growth and exploits. Matthew 11:12. The more we pray, the more the growth. The less we pray, the less growth and impact. Fervent continual prayer is a compulsory course in the school of church growth. Can I tell you something? Let me hear this. The devil is not afraid of a holy and gentle pastor who is not prayerful. I repeat. The devil is not afraid of a holy and gentle pastor who is not prayerful. He's afraid of a holy, word-filled and prayerful pastor. If you're holy and you don't pray, you have a hole. He's not afraid of you. Was Stephen not holy? Was Stephen not holy? Eh? Didn't they stone him to death? That's why we just ourselves. I'm not committing sin. Thank you. Okay, tell me the big church that don't pray. Redeem praise heavily. Hope you know. Living faith praise every day. Every day in the morning. True. We pray here every 12 o'clock. You don't pray. By 12, stay here and observe. We pray. Yeah, pastor. Don't pray. Just carry. If I listen, going to preach without prayer makes you a lecturer. Mercy, what? You are giving lectures. Most of the pastors are lecturers. Some of them are not senior lecturers. No prayer. No what? Prayer. They say, well, I've come to preach from Matthew chapter 7. So that's the continue. Matthew 7. As your preacher said, they are sleeping. They say, what did the pastor say in the church? Because you came to even preach without prayer. Do you know that the preaching that will have effect, you pray? Even the preacher, you have to pray on it. Say, Lord, as I speak, let there be power in my words. Just carry paper. Glory to God today. I'm going to start my preaching from Matthew chapter 7. Somebody shout, yay. I say, yeah, yeah, without prayer, you end up in yeah, yeah. Let me say this to you. The early church was born during the time of endless heartfelt prayers. As one for thing. And as they continue with one accord, in prayer. In what? In prayer. When the apostles were prayerful, they were known. But when tradition set in, nobody heard of them again. What breathing is to humans is what prayer is to church growth. Church growth stops where prayer stops. So to operate in the realm of church growth, you must be addicted to what? No, it's a compulsory, it's not a course you say I will do after. It's a compulsory course. There's no technology. Listen, if we go on the internet and advertise, if you advertise that prayer, nobody will see it. If you can get money to print handbills, people will come. It's a lie. Can I tell you something that will shock you? We have printed 20,000 handbills before in this church when we started, and nobody came for a seminar. When we started, not one person came. So it's not handbills. 20. I will never forget 20,000. Not one soul came. Now, we did a service one time, no handbill. I called it Operation Andrew. That day, we didn't print one handbill long ago. We had 6,000 plus first timers. Long ago. No one handbill. I said, go and invite your neighbor. After prayers. After what? One branch, on one branch, we had 6,000 plus. New people added to the church after prayers. But the one who printed a handbill, nobody came. At least you should not print a handbill, don't misquote me. Handbill without prayer, they'll think that it's a photocopy paper. Number four, which I'll stop with. Look at verse 11. It said, moreover, the word of the Lord came what? Unto me. So number four, the word of God. God's word is the foundation of your growing church. He upholds everything by the word of his power, including church growth. Hebrews 11 verse 3. There are three things to note about God's word. A, no human standard can match the word of God. The word of God is the supreme standard to follow to experience church growth. The church is riding on the wings of God's word. Satan's greatest strategy is to sever you from connecting with the word of God. The word is the only instrument that cleanses the mind from doubt, sorrow, and confusion. So go for the word. Go for what? There are things that will happen, you'll be confused. Sometimes some doctrines... Now listen, you know why the word is so powerful for church growth? Today, there are men of God who are loaded, who are saying tithing is wrong. And many people follow it because they don't read the Bible. They don't read what? They don't read the Bible. I can tell you, if you don't study God's word, even as a pastor, somebody can confuse you. There was a time somebody came and said, the person died. And then saw that no one earring. Do you know even believers, women who are pastors, were not wearing earring again? And I started laughing. I said, don't you read Bible for yourself? Okay. Our people now preach by bloodline. How many of you have had bloodline before? And you say, well, have you had bloodline before? It's wrong. But you believed it. Some of you even preach it. It's not true. They say, according to your bloodline, you now start preaching wrong doctrine. Okay, John 1, 12 and 13. Read it. Whether there's any bloodline there. Read John 1, 12 and 13, read. You know, when you don't read the Bible, you can pick anything from the internet and quote it. As many as what? Today gave you to become? Even today that what? Which were born not of what? So when you're born again, you're not born of your father's blood. Yet you are praying against your father's blood. Which are born not of what? None of the will of flesh, none of the will of man, but of God. So a born again man has no bloodline. Your bloodline is that of God. You don't have any biological bloodline anymore. But I think some of you say, now we are going to make sure our grandfather's hereditary problems are cast out. Because you don't read the Bible. And you'll be serious. So all of you who are born from parents who are bad people, come out for deliverance. There is no bloodline. Your bloodline is the line of God. So in case you preach it, tell God to forgive you. And go to church and tell them I deceive you people. I didn't know. All of you, your bloodline is the blood of what? Jesus. No longer the biological bloodline. You are born of God. You are not born of your father. So your father's nonsense can't affect you. Is it not your Bible? What are you talking? You are doing as if I'm not. I wrote where I read. Am I the one? As many as the what? Received it. To then give what? To become. Which are not born of any man's blood. You are not born of the blood of who? Jesus. So why do you have to say now your bloodline? So you come now, you say your father was a witch doctor. Therefore, it's this witchcraft that's worrying you. Ignorance. It will bring doubt. It will bring what? Confusion will just fool you. Go for the word. Every pastor, go for the word. B. God's word is the catalyst for change. God's word is what? Those who embrace God's word experience tremendous change in ministry. Any word deficient ministry will soon lose its membership. The sheep goes to where the word is always fresh. When the pasture, the word is green, the sheep will remain. He maketh me to lie down in what? In pasture. So anywhere God's word is, people will lie down. Activities without the word will end in frustration. Yeah, it is not inviting guest speakers that sustain the church. It's the word that sustains the church. Are you hearing me? And if you want to invite guest speakers, mind who you invite. Must be somebody who follows your pattern. Huh? Are you getting me? I cannot invite you to preach here now if you don't have a Oedipus kind of background. In fact, nobody preaches. It's not me that preaches. And the crowd gather. True? Preach yourself, my friend. Too many guest speakers will make them to be guessing. Do you hear me at all? Too many what? Will make your members to be guessing upon them. So there are some guest speakers who drop one word. You need another work to do. Okay, just imagine you preach a man who does not believe in tithe, and you pay tithe. He now comes and says, listen, tithing is no longer of the covenant. Before you repair that damage, they are put in the church, moving you and your preaching, they are angry. Now somebody come to confirm, the man of God, say, yes, now we're talking to you. What are we talking? It's very true. No man, this is our papa. We know they believe. This man is correct. Before you will correct that mistake, are you getting what I'm saying now? Before anybody will tell you what to preach, you must preach there. If you go off there, you will tell him whether you are the one clapping. You just, my father is different now. You just, my friend, calm down. So that's how I pray. I say, father, I got everything from him, but this part, I've not gotten it. My father, with no finesse, we just tell that man, calm down. What is he talking there? you've not seen my father. So that I'm still saying true. You go and talk nonsense there. When I go there, I won't do it if not. I respect. I won't even do it. Not, I've trained by him, so I know the protocol. But just go there and say what to misbehave. My friend, the eye will look at you.
Me, I can be angry and be pretending. The way he would look at you next day, you won't be near there.
So mind who you ask. You cannot place, you cannot ask 6:2-4. It's about give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of what? The world. You cannot ignore the place of prayer and the word in ministry. Activities will invite the sheep, but the word will preserve them. It is the word that turns a small church into a mega church. When you get into the word will get into you. And then C, with God's word, you cannot be tossed about by Satan and his agents. So C, God's word is the master weapon that conquers satanic deception. C, God's word is the master weapon that conquers satanic deception. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus overcame Satan's deception with the word. He was always saying, it is written. If you don't know what is written, you create room for Satan to write you off. Most ministers engage in the wrong thing because they lack the word. Psalm 119, verse 11, the word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. The word of God is what keeps you going even in the face of challenges. Even in the face of what? You can't have the word and not command exploits in life and ministry. Let me say this to you. Just like already told you, I listen to my mentor every day. Every day. If you have somebody you submit to, listen to the person every day. Every day. I must listen to Oyedepo once. No matter. Sometimes more than, but every day I must listen to. Every day. So, I can think the way he thinks. I listen to him every day. I've done it for years. One day I was listening to my tape. I said, is it Papa that's talking? He says, you. I never mimic him. This thing is not mechanical. He said, the Spirit entered into me when he spoke unto me. I was hearing it. I said, Papa, is speaking. They say, it's you that is speaking. I said, how come? The voice was like the same. I've never one day sat down to talk like him. Some people say that even my head is looking like him. This is, there's a way you are not to rub on you. You will see a replication of grace. I'm not struggling, no. And whatever is working with your hands is working in my hands. Without any sweat. With so much ease. I'm at rest. I've not gone to site to sit down to say, how many blocks are you putting? It's not under pressure. Why would I be under pressure? Please sit down with what? The bread, according to the bread you sell and the bread you eat are not the same. If you are a bread seller, will the bread nourish you? Will the bread nourish you? Reading to preach is bread selling. Reading to enhance your spiritual life is bread eating. So, pastor, first read for yourself. Don't always read only to preach. If not, you'll soon go off. Out of what is inside you, you flow. Are you getting me? Just imagine last night, all I do is just to talk about the Holy Spirit. I read. It will flow. I have eaten about him to a point, even if I stand, he manifests to me. I understand the move of the Holy Spirit to a point that I can stand like this without praying, a sick person will be healed. Not from what I need to preach, from what I have understood about him. I've eaten about the Holy Spirit to a point. If I tell someone, look at my forehead, they can't stand. I say, stand, look at me. You won't be able. Because I saw that they could not look at the face of Moses in the Old Testament and with the New Covenant. If you don't read to preach, you don't preach and nobody will have that to happen. Don't read only to preach. Read also for yourself. Out of what you have eaten, you now give. You impact people more. Are you getting me now? What you preach informs them. What you live impacts them. The word of God you have is what breathes life into that ministry. It's what eliminates failure and establishes progress. Your passion for the word is your greatest asset in the pursuit of church growth. Tomorrow, I'll take step five, which is many people don't know. Many of you pray. Many of you do this. You'll be surprised. There's a very simple thing which I'll tell you tomorrow. Verse 11b. That's where I'll start tomorrow. Look at this 11. Jeremiah 1. Every time I teach Jeremiah 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? So after you pray, there must be something you see. Many of us, we pray. But we see nothing. So the church is like this. We pray heavily. Midnight prayer, morning prayer, afternoon prayer, but we're seeing nothing. No business, no church will grow until you have a dream tomorrow. And you have what? And I'll tell you practically. Practically. When this church was 1,000, I did something. I put by the entrance 10,000 members. They've removed it here. It used to be here, another one. I put. Where is it? Where, you kept it there. So when you're coming to church, you see the vision. The growth must be seen. He said, what seers? When there are 10 people, see 100. Then God will push you to 100. When it gets 100, see 1,000. Then God will push you to 1,000. He said, what seest thou? So you are the one to see, not God. You have to dream it before God can make it happen. I'll dissect it tomorrow. The reason many churches are not growing is not because we're not praying, but we don't set the goal. Playing football without goal posts, you know, it's useless. The dream, you must set goal. Must what? If you want to open branches, you should know how many branches you want to open. Don't say, with this year, we'll just spread around. God doesn't work like that. You must set. He can exceed your goal, but you set it. You must. He said, Jeremiah, what seest thou? He said, that well seen. I will hasten my word to perform what you see. So if you see nothing, God has nothing to perform. This is where many Christians miss it. God, this year, this church must grow, must grow, must grow. Dream has no alternative. But tomorrow, let me not. From the beginning, for God so loved that he gave. Listen, he loved what? The dream of God was the world. But he said that with one son. For God, the world. What he gave? One son. So from the day he gave Jesus, he had a dream. You are starting a church. Now, I did something that has never been done in church history. Pastor Matthew said, put in a book, my young man, it has never been done. The whole world has never done it. I was the first to do it. We are here, one branch. Listen, dream is powerful. Tomorrow I'll break it down. We are here, one branch. From what? From one branch, 2011, we started 14 churches. All the 14 churches started 5 services that same day. It's easy to do that when you are branched. We had only one branch. Only what? And then from the one branch, we opened 14 satellite churches and all the 14 started 5 services same day. And in 1 month, the headquarters came back to the same number. The whole churches, people left. In 1 month, the crowd, the population came back again to the attendance. I'll tell you practically tomorrow. The reason you are praying and not is working is because no dream. He said, what seest what? Now, let me stop here. Rise to your feet. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout a big hallelujah. Number one, see. What is it? Understand. Number two. That's I know. Bring it back. Have a your mind. See, I have said you over what? Over nations, not over your village. Some of you are thinking too much of village. I've set you over nations, over kingdoms. So you are a territorial commander. Yes, you can start from one branch, but God has set you over nations. Today we are on television in America and everywhere. We transmit from here to the entire globe. I've set you over what? Nations. This I've set you over your village. So don't see the ministry just in one small corner. You can start small. Tomorrow I will really dissect that. You can start small, but you must think big. And then grow bigger. And then grow up. Toruta, we pray. People start with three. That's why they are frustrated. Every person you see who is number three, they know. They say, Jeremiah, now we are going to root out. We are going to pull down. They did not go from one and two first. So no understanding, no perspective in their mind. But now, remove all the demons. So God said, we are removing demons without understanding. So small thing, he keeps in because his mentality is not upgraded. He said, no. If I can get money, ministry will grow. They don't need money. You need mindset. You need what? There's no money you need. When we started ministry, there was no bank account. My wife had no money. They told me to teach on finance. So that's my strength. But I say, that's not what I prepared. Maybe next time, I'll teach on finance. Because they say I should teach. The pastors are suffering too much. I said, go and buy the post tips. Yeah, I taught them. I won't teach everything. Go and buy his tips. There's nothing I want to teach he has not taught. Just go and carry it there. Listen. Most of us, we know all these things, though. But do them is the problem. Okay. You have heard now. Don't collect from your mentor. Otherwise, you suffer from tormentors. Yet. I have never, and I will never do it in Jesus' cause. I know the secret. I will never go to any of our sisters. I will never do it. I know the secret. I know what? The secret. Never. I will never go to him and say, Daddy, it's well. Lord, I passed that level now. Even when it was not that level, when we are going through challenges, I knew what to do. I can't teach that. But if you don't know, have understanding, you'll be blaming the devil over things that you should blame yourself. I gave a pastor a book to read to come out of poverty. Years after, close to 20 years, he came to me. He thought I forgot his face. He said, sir, I want to assist me. I said, I gave you Breaking Financial Hardship. Have you read it? He said, no, I only open. I said, so for close to 20 years, you have not read the book. You are called. He came back. He didn't know I would remember his face. I said, when I was not at this level, you came. Now I paid it. I paid your money. So you are still battling with this problem till now. The malaria I don't cure today can turn to another name. If the malaria grow beyond, you don't cure it, it will go to another level of sickness. The earlier you cure malaria, you know malaria? Okay. Ministry with time, finance will end up in annoyance. I repeat, ministry without what? Will end up anointing without finance. You will end up in annoyance. Everything will irritate you. Have you been broke in your life before? Even your children will irritate you, your own children. They say, Daddy, good afternoon. Good afternoon for what? Go and meet your mother. Innocent children. The God forced you to be ministry. You now make them look as if they say, that's the most pastors, their children, they say, I will never be a pastor. It's because of how you behave. See your little children, don't see how they are? When they saw their father, wouldn't they want to be a pastor? If some of you, the way you're doing, your children, not you. Some pastors, who would like to be a pastor? I call a boy. I say, God, you know that the hand of God is upon you. He says, sir, forget it. You know why? His father was a pastor. He says, sir, not even God speaks to me. I won't. I said, I know what's worrying you. It's your father. He said, sir, see the way we suffer. The boy is still struggling today. You will know that God's hand is upon him. He said, lie, lie. If it's this calling, he will not do it. The father belonged to these churches where they just do like that. The boy said, nothing, sir, forget it. Don't tell me. I know, but I won't, this calling, I won't agree. Because nothing to show in the father. He saw the father suffer. He said, this is calling. I won't come.
Even when he heard God, he said, did not hear. This your head about children. Did they say so? When you see ministry like Oedipo, you will want to be a minister. Let me leave you. It's not my preaching. Let me leave you. You're all pastors. A young man wanted to marry. As he wanted to marry. The young girl's parents called the girls to come. This young man wanted to marry. Now Oedipo wanted to be given their kind of ministry. Life story. If not that type, we will agree. But if not, you now call that man. If not, you that man type of ministry. Not in this family. Then, funny enough, the young man is working with us. So, the young lady said, it's a person under the baby. He said, yes, okay, if it's that family, go. The young man, when he came back, was still laughing. He said, see, my father-in-law, now they are married. My father-in-law to be that time. He says, sir, see the wala. He asked, I said, which kind of pastor? Is it the other one, the other type? See if it's that type, you are free. But if it's this other type, lie not in this house. You will never be a misfit. Are you hearing me now? Tomorrow when we are done, I'll pray the little I can pray, because this man is a collection of grace. Set your heart tomorrow because there will be partition. Anywhere you go, set your heart. I'm not going to pray long tomorrow, but set your heart. I'm a collection of grace. If there's plural for grace, I'm a collection of graces. But there's no plural. But tomorrow, set your heart. Because what grace you carry can give you speed. Most times we kill ourselves too much. I'm not killing myself. When Oedipo lays hands on me, my heart is set. I'm so connected. So I just flow. Shh. Now you imagine collect his own on me, collect the one. This man, tomorrow I'll tell you, I am a collection. I've told you of Billy Graham when he was a person. I got to Billy Graham, and then when we got there, I said, God, whatever makes Billy Graham, I want it. I'm an evangelical person. I do crusades. I said, what makes Billy Graham, I want it. This man is gone. As I was praying that prayer in my heart, because heart matters a lot. They turned. They said, David, only you will be allowed to go to Billy Graham's room. My wife is a witness. Crowd of people, they were taken around. We were invited for his funeral. The man held my hand and said, only you. You know, God answers your prayers. He took me to the room of Billy Graham. And he said, this is the last room Billy Graham stayed. We've not opened this. This is the pastor. You are the first to enter. I said, Chai. What I came here for, I've gotten it. I knelt down by the chair. I said, God, whatever makes Billy Graham, drop it on me. I came to church like this. I said, Jesus loves you. I don't know even what I preached today. I don't know what I preached. I said, come and give your life to Jesus. Ordained elders came out. In this church, ordained. People were, I said, now Jesus loves you. Surrender your life to Jesus. Come out. People who have ordained, who have made altar call before, came out. That is Billy Graham. He just said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Come on, just as I am. You'll be running. When I do crusades, you see people running. It's Billy Graham's anointing. Don't kill yourself. Whatever this vessel carries that you love, it will work in your life. Whatever it is that you love, le crezia koshanto. I told you I had to take testimonies. Please, tomorrow we take. Did they take testimonies today? They took. Laru bredia kosi kato bredia koshanto bradia katalo breziza. Everything that is inside this vessel that you admire, without sweat, they walk in your life. I'm not struggling. Today marks the end of struggles. Every grace that is working, plus the one you have, combining them, as your heart is open, they'll work for you in the name of Jesus. By the time you go back, you won't struggle again. Give thanks to God. Pastors.
Ted. It's offering time. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8 and verse 18, it says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." The power to get wealth is not in the hand of any government or nation. It is in the covenant. So if you want to enjoy covenant wealth, God's kind of wealth, you package a quality offering, not trash, but a quality offering. If you have done that, lift it above your head and appreciate God for the word coming your way. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you for this privilege. Lord, we ask that you accept our offering. Cause us to enjoy kingdom wealth in Jesus' name. Cast your offering.
He is not a man that he should lie. Whatever comes around, he will make them right. Whatever comes my way, he will lead me through. It's not a man yet that he should know. Whatever comes around, he will make them right. Whatever comes my way,
hallelujah. Remember, we are meeting at 4:30. Let me say this. It is what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. When Shiloh is on, we pray here and I tell our members to go. And it has never been a threat. They get blessed and they come back. I was listening to a young man on television yesterday. And I was humbled by his interview they gave to him. Don't tie down your members. I've never tied our members when it comes to Shiloh. In fact, I announced Shiloh here. We prayed for Shiloh to be successful. We fast for Shiloh to be successful. So when it comes to our own, you can see the same things happening. Anytime you are afraid of somebody you are tapping grace from, you know this is a heart. Your own will diminish. As Oedipo is going up, I'm going up. Every time we do program here, after them, you can see that as we are in our own small level, we are the most influential. After the redeem, the Oyakilome, you know that glory reign is another level. Is that true? As I'm making it happen, if I now say, okay, they will not leave on Winner's Chapel, that's the end. In fact, that's the time they will really leave. Because anything you're afraid of will happen to you. But I said, go and get blessed from my father. They come back. They say, Papa, when you preach, so it makes my work simple. I come to one of the young men here. But you now say to them, no. You now fix program. Now, that is when they will leave you. As you fix the program, that program, not you, because for you to call means you are here. But some of them are now hearing me on the internet. Don't do it. Those are not good seeds. Allow people to hear the word of God. It makes your work very simple. There are things you tell them, they will not agree. If I tell them that, they say, okay, this man to send, he said to our pastor has been said. So when I tell you, come and say, give offering, they will not struggle. Believe the word. So in the evening, we meet at when? 4:30. But God will bless every man of God. Amen. Every business person. Amen. Every career person. Amen. everyone that came, the signs will show. The difference will be clear. Between now and this time next week, it will be evident that you have collected grace for the next level. Love you all. In Jesus' name. The grace together with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet flow of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. Amen. Peace. Salvation Ministries members, remember 12 o'clock. And God bless you.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.